Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
November last year, all our lead pastors from our church globally, minus two or three that their wives were having babies during that time, or they were due to have kids during that time, we got to go to Israel for about 10 days. We did a tour, all our lead pastors, along with Brian and Bobby, our senior pastors, and it was an incredible time. It was a fun time. It was a time of revelation for me. There were days where God revealed stuff to me that I didn't know prior to that trip. It was my first time, my wife Lucy's first time in Israel. So obviously we were super excited. We were expectant. Wasn't just excited about what I was going to see and learn. I was excited about just hanging out with the crew, especially after moving and, you know, you're not around the people you used to be around. It was just good for us. It was a perfect moment for my wife and I just to hang out with the guys. And during that time in Israel, God dropped a few things in my spirit that were revelation to me and really helped me just shape a few things that I was heading towards. And it was an incredible 10 days. And I think it was the second or third day in. We went to what are the remains of Solomon's temple, the first and second temple. And it was incredible, so grand, and it was just the remains. And we were told time and time again, this is nothing like the temple was like in size. It was built on top of this. It was another two stories high, and it was just grand. It was just majestic. It was amazing. We went around to where the entry point was to the temple, and the remains of the stairs are there. And it was amazing. We went Old Testament because all the guys hung out, and then all the girls were together. I don't know why it happened, it just happened. We went Old Testament for a few moments and we were sitting on the steps and we were just chatting through with a lot of the guys and we just started chatting through with Brian. Man, imagine all the psalms that were sung by the people who would come on pilgrimage twice a year, some three times a year, to the temple to worship God, to offer their sacrifices to God. And we just started thinking about a whole bunch of psalms in the Old Testament that people would have sung. People who would have sung, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. And so many other different psalms that spoke about the splendor of the house of God, the beauty of the house of God. And one of the things that we talked about in that moment was Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 says, verses 1 to 5, the entire psalm, it's just a short one. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Some churches in Latin America need to get a revelation of this scripture. Serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the Lord with bitterness, as we often do. It doesn't say serve the Lord with complaining. It doesn't say serve the Lord with comparison. It doesn't say serve the Lord with depression. It says serve the Lord with gladness, because there's no greater adventure in life than the faith adventure. There's no greater calling in life than the one we all have to serve God, whatever that looks like in your sphere of life and everything we do. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what we're facing. We must serve the Lord with gladness. Then it goes on and says, come before his presence with singing, which is why we start our services with worship. We come before him with singing. It's not karaoke on steroids. We come before his presence to honor him, to worship him. Some do it in different styles to us. It's not the style of worship. When we worship God, when it's only a style that we like or that suits us, we become consumers of worship instead of being givers of worship. And worship was never designed for us. Worship was designed for us to give it to him. That's why when we say, I didn't worship today, I didn't sing in his presence because I didn't like the song. We need to do a stock take of our heart, because we reduce the song to something personal when the song was never designed for us. The song has always been designed for him. It says, come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then I love these verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. I love it. It's definitive. It's not a suggestion. It's like, oh, the Lord, he could be good. The Lord is maybe good. The Lord is sometimes good. No, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And what amazed me, sitting on the steps that went into the temple that Solomon built, was the fact that this psalm would encourage the people to enter the house of God with thanksgiving, to enter into his courts with praise, to be thankful to him and always bless his name. So it leads me to ask a question today. How did you enter the dominion? How do we come into the house of God? How do we come into his presence? Do we come with thanksgiving or do we come with moaning? Do we come with a grateful heart or do we come with complaining? How is it that we come into the house of God? Here's a question for you. How did you come into 2017? We're on the edge of Easter. The year is going by quickly. Did you come into 2017 grateful? Did you come into 2017 being thankful? See, we often lose our thankfulness or our gratitude because we tend to focus on what we don't have instead of fixing our attention on what we do have. Many times, friend, we ask God for more and don't realize what we already have. And I love that the people of God were encouraged. Whenever you come to the temple, whenever you come to the house of God, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of situations that may be limiting you from stepping into what you think God has for you, you didn't get the promotion, you didn't get the pay rise, you couldn't buy that car, you couldn't buy those new threads, you can't wear those kicks, you don't hang around with a group of people you want to hang around, no one notices you, that opportunity went to somebody else. And we tend many times to come to God complaining instead of coming before him with thanksgiving and gratefulness. And I want to talk to you in this service. I'm preaching a different message every service today. In this service, I want to talk to you about having an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. See, what we need to understand, friend, is that a grateful person is a dangerous person to the devil. A grateful person is a lethal weapon for the kingdom. Gratitude. How did you come into the house of God today? Gratitude. You know, I shared in the first service, and I'm just going to add to that in this service. 5 years ago, my dad graduated to heaven. He was given on a Friday 2 days to live. He was 57 years of age. We were told he's not going to make it past Sunday, but then we said yes to applying the most potent dose of chemotherapy a human can endure. Those 2 days became 2 years. Where literally my dad was in hospital months at a time. He got better, then his health declined. He got better again. And after about the 8 month mark, his health just went on a steep curve of decline. And he was in hospital every day. And every day before I'd go to the office, at church in Sydney, I'd go visit my dad. And every day as I went to visit my dad, in my car, my prayer was this. Thank you, Lord, that I get to see my dad again today. 8 months ago, they gave him 2 days, and I've got to see him every day for the last 8 months. I'd get to see my dad, and he was struggling, and I was like, thank you, Lord, that I get to spend this moment with him. For the last year of his life, every day I'd read Psalm 91 over his life and just declare it. And when I'd say amen at the end of it, and he'd hold my hand because he couldn't speak because of the cancer that was eating away at his brain, he'd hold, squeeze my hand. I'd say, thank you, Lord, that I could have this moment in the scriptures with Dad. I'd drive back home or drive to the office. tears rolling down my face. And then I just remember, hang on a second, we were given 2 days. It's now 14 months. Thank you, Lord, for the last 14 months. And an attitude of gratitude helped me when the day came for my heart to confront the deepest and darkest moments of my life, where at the age of 59, we said goodbye to my dad, my hero, my best friend. It was over a period of 2 years where, along with my wife and my kids, we would just say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. We wouldn't go, why, Lord? When, Lord? Come on, Lord, why are you healing them? Come on, Lord, why don't you do what I know you can do? We made a decision to just be grateful for every day, understanding that an attitude of gratitude would not allow bitterness to settle in my heart. Understanding that an attitude of gratitude would not allow complaint to flow out of my mouth. See, friend, a grateful person is a dangerous person to the devil. A grateful person is a lethal weapon for the kingdom. When you don't have what you want and you can't go where you want to go and you can't wear what you want to wear, you don't get the job you want to receive. But when you maintain an attitude of gratitude, there's no circumstance in this world that will be able to limit your faith. There's no storm you may be in the midst in that may be able to dwindle your expectation. Because regardless of what we see or we don't see in this world, we have so many reasons to be grateful for. An attitude of gratitude. Psalm 69. Verses 30 to 31 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Wow. How do we magnify God? With thanksgiving. The question is, what are you magnifying in your life? Are you magnifying your problem with your complaint? Or are you magnifying God with thanksgiving? Because we all magnify something or someone and we all worship something or someone. Where's your focus on? We magnify him with thanksgiving. This also, listen to this, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull. Talking about Old Testament sacrifice. When was the last time you offered God an ox or a bull? Thank God for Jesus. That he was the perfect sacrifice. Not just a one-off event, but for all of eternity. So what do we offer God today as a sacrifice? Our thanksgiving. In the midst of any challenge, in the midst of any limiting circumstance, I want to ask your friend, what are the first words that come out of your mouth when you come into his presence? Are your first words, please, Lord, or are your first words, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. See, friend, don't ask God for anything until you have thanked him for everything. We often come before him with a shopping list. God, I need this. God, I want that. We even bring our tithe that way. We think that we bring the tithe and it's like playing the poker machines. We put our tithe in, we pull the lever, and the blessing of God comes out. But it doesn't work that way. God is a God of principles. God is a God of process. And it's in the processes that we must maintain an attitude of gratitude that says, God, I'm putting you first. I'm not seeing what I want to see, but I trust you. I believe in you. And come what may, I'm never going to lose a grateful heart because I know who you are. I know what you did for a sinful person like me. And I'm going to remain grateful for the cross, your grace, and the blood that was shed. An attitude of gratitude. When you're in worship, let thank you be the first words that come out of your mouth. Don't just read the lyrics on a screen. Let it flow from your inside. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, rejoice always. There's a sermon series. Rejoice always. You know, there are way too many bitter Christians on the planet. The Bible says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, not in some things, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, often as a pastor, and I'm sure our team experiences the same, our team here in London, you get people, especially younger people, come up to you and say, hey, I just don't know the will of God for my life. I don't know the plan that God has for my life. Could you just speak over me? Could you just reveal something to me? I don't know what God wants me to do. What's His will for my life? Friend, I've got the answer for you today. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks at every moment, for you're fulfilling the will of God for your life. Because the will of God is not about what we get to do. The will of God is about being grateful for what He's already done. An attitude of gratitude. And gratitude produces a few things in our lives, and gratitude works a certain way in our lives. And I just want to give you, in the time we have left together in this service, three thoughts on gratitude. Number one, gratitude is never silent. You don't think gratitude, you speak gratitude. Gratitude is never silent. If you live with a grateful heart, it will flow out of your mouth. But if gratitude isn't flowing out of your mouth, then we need to check the condition of our heart. For the Bible says in Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. An ungrateful mouth is the fruit of an ungrateful heart. Gratitude is never silent. Not just before God, but in everyday life. When my wife cooks at home, and she's an amazing cook, and she knows what I love to eat, and before every meal, I rebuke the calories, but it doesn't work. I don't say to my, when she says to me, babe, so how was it? How was it? I don't say, Oh. I'm like, it was awesome, babe. Thank you. Thank you. I know you had a full-on day. Got the kids ready for school. You had to do all the errands during the day while I'm at the office, because that's the season my wife's in. You went to pick up the kids from school. You made the effort to cook for a family of five. I just want to say, babe, thank you. Do you know the word thank you could change a marriage? Gratitude is never silent. One of the first things you teach your kids is to say thank you. Thank you. Every day this week, I've got Seba saying thank you to everyone, because they're spoiling him. He's living the dream. He's like, Dad, I'm moving to London. And I'm like, dude, this isn't real. This isn't real. Four-story toy shops. Fantasy land. The only thing that's real is the best place in London, Stamford Bridge. Praise God. But I got him saying thank you, because gratitude is not silent. You don't think it, you speak it. You know, where I live, I don't know what it's like here, what culture's like here, but where I live, you go to the local supermarket and the people that serve you behind the counter, they're used to being mistreated. They're used to being looked down upon. And so they just throw things on the counter because no one engages, no one looks in their eyes, no one asks them, how was your day? So with my wife and our family, I'm like, we're going to change culture. It just starts with one checkout person at a time. So when we're paying for our groceries, I'm like, hey, how are you? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo está tu día? Because I speak to them in Spanish. How's your day? How are you going? Oh, and it's as if you rock their world. They're like, what? You're talking to me? And I'm like, yeah, what time do you finish? Has it been a busy day? And they're shocked by it. Something so simple. And then at the end, when they give me my change and my receipt, I'm like, hey, thank you for serving me. Thank you for being here. And they're like, I'm just a checkout chick. And I'm like, yeah, but thank you for saying yes to the job offer. Thank you can change a household, can change a marriage. The word thank you can change culture. The word thank you can change a family. Gratitude is never silent. We need to learn to say thank you more often in every area of our lives, because we say we're people of love. And something as simple as a thank you can show love to someone who's always ignored. Gratitude is never silent. Friend, we need to understand that sometimes we get to the point in life where we now complain about the thing we once prayed for, and we lose our gratitude. Do you remember when you were 21, 22? For me, it was just yesterday. And then some. It's like, oh God, give me the wife of my dreams. God, I want a wife. God, I want a wife. She needs to be so high. She needs to have this color hair, these sort of eyes, and her figure, Lord. Be good to me, Jesus. And then God answers your prayer. But 17 years down the track, being married with three kids, you're like, oh God, why did you give me this woman? Change her, Lord, or take her home. So I'm being vulnerable. That's how I pray sometimes. So change those people in church, Lord. If not, just take them to glory. They'll be better off up there than they are here. But we often complain about what we once prayed for because we lose our gratitude. Oh God, we want to see revival hit London and the UK. We want to see revival hit Europe. Oh, what, I need to wait now in line to get into the Easter service for 2 hours because people brought friends to church? We need to give up our seats so the new person can sit down because the dominion is now too small for 1, 2, 3, 4 services. We're adding a fifth. Come on, God. I was comfortable in my Christianity. I was comfortable with what you did for the last 16 years. But God is saying the last 16 years doesn't compare to what I want to do in the next 16 years. But we lose our gratitude when we start to think, oh, well, why? Why? Gratitude is never silent, friend. Let's cultivate in our hearts and in our spirit an attitude of gratitude with so much to be grateful for. It's never silent. Number two, gratitude sustains your joy. See, I don't want to be happy. I want to be joyful. Because happiness is a surface thing. But joy is a deep internal thing. It's only found in Christ. And when you cultivate an attitude of gratitude in your life, it sustains your joy. Doesn't matter what comes at you, it's not going to rob your joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. Not the things we think that are in this world that are going to make us happy. It's the joy of the Lord. It's deep. It's a conviction. It's a decision. It's not an emotion. It's poured out through the power of the Holy Spirit. An internal joy. And when you maintain a grateful heart in your life and in your walk with God, and while we're on this earth, that gratitude will sustain your joy. And there's no devil in hell, there's no storm in this world that will be able to rob you of the joy that the Lord has placed on the inside of you because you've cultivated an attitude of gratitude in life. But often we lose our gratitude and we lose our joy because we forget. We forget what the Lord has done. And that's why all the answers are found in Scripture. Psalm 103, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes you've got to tell your soul to bless the Lord and worship Him. When your emotions don't want to worship, when your circumstance has you put your hands in your pocket, you don't want to raise your hands as is your custom because your emotions are being led by your circumstance, you need to speak to yourself. Say, soul, you will bless the Lord. My emotion will not dictate my worship. My circumstance will not limit my faith. Soul, you will lift your voice. You will praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, when you take authority over your soul, you go from this posture to this posture because you realize who God is and what God has already given you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We often lose our gratitude because we forget what He's already done. who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Listen, who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth, I'm turning 40 this year and I'm claiming this scripture like never before in Jesus' name, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Because youthfulness is not a number, it's a spirit. Gratitude will sustain your joy, will have you focus on what he's already done. Look at the cross. In a world today that is having financial crisis all over the planet, in a world today where terror is trying to rob people's hope and has people living in fear, if we maintain before God an attitude of gratitude, our joy will be sustained. There's nothing or no one that will be able to rob us of our joy. Great friend of our church, and I know he's been here one or two times at Hillsong London, Joel Osteen, he said in one of his books, one of the main reasons that we lose our enthusiasm in life is because we become ungrateful. We let what was once a miracle become common to us. We get so accustomed to his goodness, it becomes nothing more than a routine. May our walk with God not be a routine. May we be grateful. Look around, dear friend. We are living in prayers that have been answered. Let's never lose our gratitude for that which the Lord is doing in our midst and in our church across the globe, because it's unique. It's unique and it's miraculous. And thirdly, gratitude number one is never silent. You don't think it, you speak it. Say thank you. Let me give you some homework this week. May the word thank you flow out of your mouth like never before. The grocery store, at school, at your university, in your workplace. Say thank you to your boss. That could shift the atmosphere in your office. Say thank you to your work colleagues. Yeah, even the ones that criticize you behind your back and speak wrongly, even those who laugh at your faith. Say thank you. Soften their hearts with a thank you and allow God to sow what he needs to sow in that heart. Let me give you some homework this week. You know, I know this isn't a faith, one of those faith sexy messages sometimes we want to hear. We're built up. I just feel like I can take on the world. But this is an everyday principle that can change your life. Kingdom principles. In church often, we want to have an experience with the power of God. But then Monday to Saturday, we have no principles to apply. And I love that our house is a house that teaches kingdom principles, because we don't want you to win on Sunday. We want you to win on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. Where you don't live like a victim, but you live like a victor, because God declares us his children. We are the head and not the tail. We walk above and not beneath. Gratitude, it's never silent. It sustains your joy. And number three, gratitude might not change your problem, but it will change your perspective. Might not change your problem. Maybe it will, but it won't change your perspective. For Paul and Silas, it changed their situation. Acts 16, at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, they're in chains, hands cuffed, ankles cuffed, chained to a wall, in the deepest cell of a prison. And you would think that in their human nature, they would start saying, oh man, serving God is hard. We're preaching Jesus. He resurrected. He revealed himself to me. Si, you don't know what I've seen. Lives are being changed, and here we are imprisoned because of our faith. What is going on? What is God doing? I'm over it. Throwing in the towel. I'm not serving him anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not getting involved. Forget Connect Group. Forget youth. Forget everything that's going on in church. No more. No, but Paul and Silas, the Bible says at midnight, they begin to sing hymns to God. They begin to lift up worship. And what I love is that when they began to sing and lift up worship, when they began to thank the Lord for their chains. See, we need to stop complaining about the chains and give God praise for the chains. When they start to thank God, the Bible says the jail cell shook. They were released. They were freed. The chains fell off. Now, I've heard it preached and there's nothing wrong with it, but I love a perspective that I believe the Lord dropped in my heart. I've heard it preached that because they worship God in their darkest moment, in the most troubling times, they were freed from the jail. And I beg to differ. I'll tell you why. Because Psalm 22 says that God inhabits the praises of His people. That God inhabits the praises of Zion, His people. So I don't believe for one moment that when they started to worship and when they started with a grateful heart to lift up His name in praise, I don't believe for one moment that God broke them out of the jail. Because He inhabits the praises of His people. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt, as God was seated on His throne and He saw two of His boys not complain about the chains, not murmur about the circumstance, not tell everyone, woe is me, look at my situation. But He saw two of His boys lift their heads heavenward and begin to exalt His name and begin to thank Him for the opportunities they've had to serve Him and to preach Jesus and everything they got to see. Because He inhabits the praises of His people, God didn't break them out. God broke into the jail. And because God broke into the jail, they were set free, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So there are times when we are grateful and we feel that we're bound, we're in chains, we can't get out of our situation. God won't break you out of the situation. He will break into the situation, because He's realized that that situation will not rob your joy. That situation will not keep you silent. Sometimes it can change your situations, but there's other times where your problem will not change, but your perspective will. Your perspective will. See, an attitude of gratitude changes your perspective. There's another time where Paul went through so much. Man, if we only went through half the stuff Paul went through, I don't think many of us will still be serving the Lord. He went through so much. And there's another time where he's being persecuted. There's another time where people are trying to imprison him and people are criticizing him and people are speaking so badly of him and spreading so many false rumors about him. And he maintains an attitude of gratitude with his circumstance. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 18, just listen to these verses and look at the perspective shift in the heart of someone that is grateful before God, regardless of what he's going through, regardless of what he's experiencing. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in the body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light
momentary affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you cultivate an attitude of gratitude, your storm may not cease. Your jail cell may still surround you. Your sickness may still be there. Provision may not come. But when you maintain an attitude of gratitude, even though your problem doesn't shift, your perspective goes to a higher level. Your perspective is not on earthly things. Your perspective is on heavenly things. Because at the end of the day, friend, I've read the book and we are victorious. I've read the book and we are on the winning team. God hasn't failed us. God will never forsake us. Come on, why don't we worship Him?
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.